Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
When I was on vacation in January, early January, the Lord spoke this verse to me very clearly, reminding me of its contents, that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. When you think of the word workmanship, what you're really thinking about is God's masterpiece, that each one of us, every single one of us, is universally a masterpiece and universally unique. That makes us, on the one hand, understanding that we're like everybody else. Our hearts are on the left side of our bodies, our brains are on the top of our heads, and we have 2 feet, 2 hands, and so on and so forth. We are universally the same, but in some ways, the way we think and the way we use our brains, the way our hearts function, are unique. That's what makes us valuable and special. Now, it goes on to say that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. At some point, because we are universal, there is a spiritual side to us that's universal, but there is also a spiritual side to us that's very unique. The way we worship, our favorite songs, the way we do life, the way we pray is unique. Our relationships are unique. The people we marry, the children that we raise, our physical bodies function very universally the same, and at some level, universally unique. And finally, our careers, our finances are the same way. But the Bible tells us in this verse that God created good works, which God prepared beforehand for us to do. Other translations say that God prepared things in advance for us to do. This speaks of the word destiny. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk to you and really inform you that we are a people of destiny. The question is, how do I walk out my destiny? Well, the verse actually tells us how. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we should walk in them. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand or in advance for us to do, that we should walk in them. How does this work? We walk in them. A good way to understand that is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, where it says, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. The path, if the righteous, is the place where you walk. Finding that right path is extremely important. And as the verse says, as we walk that path and keep walking that path, it is like the morning sun. The longer and the more consistent we are in walking that path, it shines brighter and brighter till the full light of day. In short, there is a path that we have destinies in. If we walk in the wrong path, we probably will not arrive at destiny. On the other hand, St. Augustine warns us that we might be on the right path, but we're distracted and we stop short of walking in that path. Many of us are in the right path of the righteous, but are stuck, squatting, sitting, distracted, and doing things that we should not be doing, rather than being a people of destiny who just keep walking. In short, if we want to see our destiny this year or for the rest of this year or the years to come, we need to walk in them. Secondly, if we're going to see our destiny, we walk in them. And really, destinies are all about choices. Many times, the reason why we miss our destiny is not because we're not walking the right path. And number two, we're making the wrong choices. One of the biggest problems that this generation has is because of the number of options and choices that we're presented with. When we have too many choices, the thing that ensues could be confusion. We get confused about which of these choices are the right ones. Moreover, maybe we are already or chosen the right thing, but more than just walking through that path, we become distracted. Confusion and distraction lead us to complacency because there are so many choices and options available, maybe we can delay moving forward. And sometimes confusion, distraction, and complacency leads to paralysis, and at the end of the day, we end up with the wrong choices. When I think of destiny, one of the stories that the Bible clearly tells us is the story of a man named Joseph. Young man fulfilled his destiny. God gave him a dream. God showed him, you have a destiny. But for the most part, the reason why Joseph arrived at his destiny was because very often he really had no choices. He had no choice when his brothers rejected him. He had no choice when he was sold as a slave. And he had no choice when he landed in the very prison that will eventually lead him to the palace. In many ways, that's what COVID is for us. And just to be clear, God is not the author of COVID. Many times, destructiveness or sin, man is the author. But God does allow certain things to happen so that we put ourselves in a position where we have no choices or very little choices. Literally, that's what happened to us during COVID. We found ourselves with very little options and very little choices. For starters, in the spiritual realm, we learned that we become more open to God not just on a Sunday, that we can actually worship God on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, morning, noon, and nighttime. We began to realize we don't even need a band or a musical instrument to be able to worship God, not because we chose to, but because we had no choice. And many times God puts us in these situations to teach us something new which we would never entertain in our lives. During the last 2 years, I learned that some of my best prayers was when I was washing dishes. I had no choice. I was working from home and I had more dishes to wash. And because of that, I found myself praying, something that I would never have done or never would have learned. But because I had no choice in the matter, the Lord used that moment to teach me to pray while I'm washing dishes or taking a walk. We began to accept online services. We began to accept fellowship online. We began to accept counseling online. And actually, when you really think about it, online stuff are more spiritual than physical stuff because for the most part, physical means limited by time and space. Online means unlimited by time and space. That's what spiritual means. It is unlimited by time and space. These are the kind of things that you and I will never in our lifetime choose. But because we found ourselves with no choices or no options, we realized they actually work. We found out that this itty-bitty set of communion elements are not the only elements. In fact, when Jesus spoke about communion, it didn't look like this. Plastic had not yet been invented. They were actually a literal piece of bread and a piece of cup. And we found out that we can actually enjoy communion using a cracker, a biscuit, a scone, a cupcake, or even different types of glasses or the very communion elements we use. The thing is, not the element that we use or the tradition we're trying to keep, but because we didn't have a choice, we went for the real essence of the matter. That when you pick up a cup and a piece of bread, do this in remembrance of Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, whenever you do this, or do it as often as you can, and that's the truth of the matter. Every time we eat and drink, we should remember him. In short, because we were left with no choices, we found spiritual choices that changed our lives. Our relational choices changed. At the beginning, or previous to COVID, very few people entertained remote working. In fact, the statistics show less than 15% of the population of the world were interested in remote working. And by the time COVID hit 2 years, the thing has reversed. It's flipped. More people are now more open to intermittent or mixed working or blended working because we realize something that we would not choose as an option unless it was to a place where we had no choice. And guess who the beneficiaries were? The families. Our children and our parents, if we adjusted and we were willing to adjust, learned to realize that it actually works. The point is, sometimes we won't choose the right choices because we're preset in our ways, our traditions, our distractions, our confusions, our complacency. And more often than not just all of that, but we refuse to change the things that we should be changing, but will never choose to change. Yesterday, I received this from our family chat group of a picture of my youngest grandson named Manu. And when I was looking at this picture, I remembered a friend of mine who just talked about how he just lost his job for a year. And in some ways, a choice that he would never choose to do, but kept him home to be with his children, at least for an extended period of time. In his own words, he would never choose it. But because of the situation, he was forced to find himself there. Because here's the truth. One day those children will be old and that opportunity will not be there anymore. We find bars were closed and we spent more time at home. And we started looking out for each other. But as soon as COVID hit, we started, where's my brother? Where's my sister? And we started looking for each other on Facebook and in various mediums. We found ourselves, we traveled less. We went, took less flights. We did a lot, which, by the way, one of the major concerns about foreign travel is it's one of the major causes of infidelity in marriages. And by the way, just to make you clear, air travel is less than 100 years old. The world is over 5,000 years old. We've made some of these norms the norms when reality is, when left with no choice, they're not as valuable as we think they are. God puts us in these places so that our spiritual relational choices may change. Interestingly, even our physical choices have changed. We wash our hands more. Hello? We wear masks. And by the way, my doctor friends tell me that the most common diseases, upper respiratory disease, are down, mainly because we put on masks. We become mindful about our eating. We exercise more. And more importantly, we probably put a rest to some of the carbon emission of overconsumption and overdoing life. The physical has benefited. Think about the fact that even our finances are benefited because we decided there are certain things we just don't need and we started cutting our expenses. So how do you actually walk into your destiny? It's about your choices. And when God puts us in a situation we have less choices or no choices, He's putting us in a place of destiny. We're left really with two choices. The choices that Joseph was left with. It looked like he had no choices, but there were actually two choices. The first choice is to obey God or to disobey God. There are only two choices when we're left with no choices. Will we have a bad attitude and not obey God and disobey Him? Or will we choose to say, God, You put us here, we choose destiny. The second point I want to bring up is to know to the core. Knowing the core of destiny is very important. One of the things and the clear message that God has sent us during COVID in the last 2 years is we have little to no control. If there's anything that God sent the entire world, you do not have control. Not doctors, not scientists, not governments, not the smartest, not the wisest, not the giant pharmaceutical companies can stop this and put Humpty Dumpty together again. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Clearly it says that while we're living under the heavens or we're living on earth, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And this is that moment in the history of our lives. We're living under the heavens. We find ourselves in a place which we don't control. Clearly, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, in the second verse, it says, there's a time to be born, a time to die. A very simple trumpet call from the Word of God that says, you do not control the day you're born, and you certainly don't control the time you die. In short, if you're to understand destiny, you're to understand you and I have little to no control. In fact, it goes on to say, a time to plant and a time to uproot. And our jobs are not there forever. There's a time that we're going to plant and they're going to grow. And there's a time when these things are going to be uprooted. If you read the rest of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it tells you about these different occurrences in our lives that we do not have control over. But the good news is this. Verse 11 of Ecclesiastes 3 says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. The second thing we need to know to the core is that we have little to no control, but God makes everything. And if you haven't heard this, let me make it clear. He makes everything. If you're to walk in destiny, walk in the path of the righteous, you will find that God makes everything. Not some things, everything. Beautiful in its time. Not in your time, in His time. The secret, therefore, is how do I get there? Set eternity in your human heart. God has wired us on the inside to have a perspective that is not short-term, to know that life is long-term, and to understand that God has set eternity in the human heart. The more we understand that, the more we can operate in waiting for God's perfect time as He makes everything beautiful. Finally, the verse says, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Regardless of how smart or how studied or how many degrees or how many books we've read, and I read a lot, fact of the matter is we will never fully comprehend or fathom what God has done from beginning to end. In short, to know the core we have little to no control, God makes everything beautiful in His time, and finally, our response is to trust and surrender to Him. This is the final way we understand destiny. In light of destiny, I just want to make sure that you understand that not all destinies end up like fairy tales like Joseph. It started horribly and ended up like a beautiful fairy tale. When you read the Bible, not all destinies end up that way. You find the destiny of Moses was an amazing destiny that ended up with him not entering the promised land. We found David and how his family got destroyed because of some of the choices, wrong choices he did, and yet in the midst of that, he did fulfill his destiny. We find Daniel becoming extradited and becoming part slave and eventually serving ungodly kings. And we find Paul being beheaded and Stephen being stoned to death. Destiny does not mean all of us will have a fairy tale ending. In fact, if there's anything we've seen in COVID, we've seen a lot of friends die. On a personal note, I was on so many Zoom wakes, funerals, and seeing friends, church members early on, as early as February of 2020, I saw a baby die. And as a pastor, I've never had 2 years of grief and tears. I probably run out of them already. We've seen businesses shut down, people lose their way of earning. And I've seen, well, for the last 2 years, I haven't seen my 90-year-old mother. God bless you, Mom. Miss you. I haven't seen my children and grandchildren. And just last year, on the 31st, just as the eve of New Year came, we lost our pet, whom we haven't seen in 2 years. Destiny is not always a fairy tale. My final point is, what is destiny? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9 and 10 says, "For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when the completeness or the destiny comes, what is in part disappears. We don't know the whole thing, but when it's completed, the parts are going to disappear, and the completeness and the fullness of who we were meant to be shall be fulfilled." Verse 11 continues, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man and arrived at destiny, I put away the childhood behind me. For now we see, but only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall fully know fully, even as I'm fully known." And then it comes to this place of destiny. "And now these three shall remain." The end, the destination. The finality of it all is faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. What is destiny? It starts with faith. To know that God is who He says He is, that He loves me, that He's in control, that I can live the life that He has given me, destined me to be now. Faith is living in the now. It says, now faith is. Faith is when you understand, COVID or no COVID, God is here with me. He is who He says He is. He loves me and He's in control of every situation. And when I can find God in COVID, I can find Him anytime, anywhere, all the time. Secondly, it's hope. Hope is about the future. Hope is the substance that creates faith. When we have hope that there is something good for us in the future, we will have faith for the future. And finally, it's love. Ultimately, destiny is to be loved by God and to love Him in return, regardless of how hard things may have been. To know this is to be destined. Moses, not entering the promised land, by faith, hope, and love, knows he fulfilled his destiny. David, for all his failures and sins, by faith, hope, and love, know that God loves me. Paul and all the rest know they are a people of destiny. How do we find destiny? Well, to start with, walk in them. Secondly, it's about the choices you make. And ultimately, there are only two choices. Am I going to obey God or disobey God? To know it to the core means to know that I have little to no control over my life, that God makes everything beautiful, inevitably, eventually, over time, as I set eternity in my heart. Our response is to trust and surrender to Him. And finally, to know that destiny is not about a place or a thing or a career, is to know that I have faith in the God who loves me, cares about me, and I have hope for the future, And that love is the very thing that I'm really, at the end of it all, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Join me as we take a piece of bread and a cup and we proclaim Jesus. Lord Jesus, we proclaim you as the very source of the destiny of our lives, knowing that we have little to no control over the situations we face. Give us a heart that always acknowledges that everything will be made beautiful in its time. Help us to set our hearts and fix our eyes on an eternal perspective and not to be distracted. A heart that knows that destiny is not about a destination, but to have faith, hope, and love that is rooted in you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.